listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Outta Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
That's right. I'm RJ live from Las Vegas, 200 Fox Sports radio stations across this great nation. It's a Tuesday, but an action-packed Tuesday, and it's a special Tuesday. Usually we have the pros who know, but I got to pull back the curtain a little bit and tell you that even though I'm approaching this show Straight Out of Vegas differently, we're trying to do it from a Vegas perspective. I've always thought Jonas Knox, part of the show, he's one of those classic, old school, you could say debunked, you could say outdated, I'm not going to say that, talk radio guys. And I just wonder, do I have that gear? Could I go old school talk radio, mono e mono with Jonas? And I thought today, with coaching hires, with potential Browns, who's next, and all of that, this would be the perfect day, Jonas. I'm ready to go.
Way to really get into sports radio and get into the coal mines of sports talk radio, and that's weekend overnights. But since we can't go into weekend overnights here, we can start with a Vegas lead on a day, RJ, when we've got the playoffs coming up in the NFL this weekend. Still a lot to look at after what happened last weekend in the NFL wild card round of the playoffs. But for the Vegas folks, for you guys in Vegas and you, the voice of Vegas, what is the lead for you today?
You know something? I'm deferring to you. Since this is a special show, it's not really a Vegas show. Listen, when I'm there, it's a Vegas show, but I'm going to let you decide which of the coaching hires do you think is the bigger story?
Yeah, I actually think the New York Giants, who made the decision to hire Joe Judge, the Patriots wide receivers coach, that was announced earlier today, according to several reports. So the Giants have announced that hiring of Joe Judge, and this comes after the Panthers hired Matt Rhule of Baylor, a 7-year, $60 million contract for Rhule that could be worth up to $70 million there in Carolina.
Ooh, that's a nice one. Let's start with Judge, New York City style. Now, what I'll say is this. If you want to kind of have a joke about it, you want to kind of giggle, he came out of nowhere. The first Google return for Joe Judge is a baseball player for the Washington Senators from the 20s. Now, at one point, I think he did lead the league as first baseman assisting double plays. But still, this is a situation where the pedigree in the near, recent past, mighty good for Judge, with Belichick since 2012, and 3 years with Saban at Alabama before that. Don't do better than that. But before that, he was like at a Division III school. So think about this. In like 2008, Division III, and I don't know how much you know about these low-level, small school coaches. Sometimes they're making 25, 30K.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know exactly what he was making, but it was a very modest salary 10 years later. And he's the head coach of the Giants. I mean, in a way, it's an amazing story. The question is he ready? So what's your gut feeling?
I actually kind of like it. And I know it's their plan B, but the fact that he's been mentored by Saban and mentored by Belichick, they're not going to just take anybody under their wing. Unless they see somebody who's really driven, somebody that they believe could turn out to do great things. Belichick's talked about what Bill Parcells did for him when he took him under his wing and showed him sort of the ins and outs of certain coaching aspects that maybe people don't realize on the outside. So he's got the support. He's got got the experience, he's got the mentorship, and we've seen coaches like this, a la John Harbaugh, who was a special teams coach, never spent time really as a coordinator, but got an opportunity, and look what he's done in Baltimore.
No doubt. Now, Colin Cowherd right here on FSR made the point today that Andy Reid is a mentor, that that's his a natural state for him. And if you look at the Andy Reid coaching tree, what Harbaugh is from, then it's very successful.
Yes.
I think is a fair thing. Now, Belichick's, not so much. Now, remember, Vrabel played for him, didn't coach under him. So I don't think you can put him and the Tennessee Titans' success this year in the mix. So what do we got? We got Patricia. Ooh. We got, I know, listen, a lot of optimism in Miami with 4A's, but, I mean, nothing really yet. And otherwise, not a great, you know, if we go back to Romeo Crennel, not a great Mangino, not great. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, no, but I would think that, you know, taking a more positive approach. So what you're saying is they're due. Like one of these guys.
I don't think
hit
like that.
Okay.
I don't like when I think of a guy that's hasn't had a date for let's say 2 years. This Friday night, even money. I'm saying no date.
Yeah, he might be a reason for that too.
That's how right. I approach it. That's the Vegas style. I know it's not late night talk, but what I'll say is this: I think there's a reason for it that Belichick's tree has not been successful. And to be candid, I don't think it changes here. And here's what I believe the reason to be. Imagine there's a couple of options on how to coach a team. The first is the Tom Landry, let's go back in time, kind of the CEO coach, the guy that doesn't even wear a headset, let's say. And the reason is he's not thinking about the plays. He's not thinking about coverages. He's thinking about bringing talent together. He's thinking about making sure everyone's working on the right things. They've got the resources they need, the old CEO coach. And we can think today, you know, a guy like Peterson at Philly falls into that criteria, whereas it doesn't seem as if he's really involved in a lot of things in the minutiae, the detail, but it comes together well. Now, we'll see. A lot of people speculate Frank Reich was such a key part of that Super Bowl. And after he's been gone, hasn't been as good for Philly. Is that luck? You know, just randomness? Is that about Reich being so vital? I don't know. But there's a CEO coach, right? You agree you see those sometimes.
Yes, for sure.
Now you've got what Sean Payton, I think he falls into this category. I think Andy Reid does, which is a side of the ball guy. A guy that says, I'm an offensive coordinator. But I want to get paid like a head coach. So give me, and I want the power.
Yeah.
So give me the job. I'll run the offense. I'll get a good, strong defensive coordinator. And McVay, I think, fit into this exactly right with Wade Phillips. Let him handle the defense. He's like the head coach on that side, and I'll coach the rest. Now, that's been pretty, and I think that Nagy falls in that category. And it feels like to me that, and again, these aren't very, you know, these aren't like black lines. I think, you know, you can say, well, this coach is a little bit more, but in general, there's these categories.
Yes.
And I think a lot of the talented coaches, the young talented coaches seem to fall into they're really good coordinators. And in business, we often talk about where a guy becomes a sales manager because he's a great salesman. But it's two different jobs. And usually you'll lose your best sales manager, or I'm sorry, your best salesman to be a mediocre sales manager. And oftentimes coordinators are great coordinators, are great schematic guys, scheme guys, not great leaders of men. And I think Nagy is still, quite frankly, I think it's undecided how good of a coach he is. I think
Agreed.
He's a great coordinator. I don't know how good of a head coach he is.
Well, I thought the way Nagy handled the loss in the playoffs last year was, I thought it was a disaster. He made it all about a double doink kick, and he paid no mind to the fact that they had multiple opportunities to ice the game. Their defense, which was supposedly best in the league, gave up a 60-yard drive at the end of regulation to a backup quarterback. But he had everybody focused on the kicking competition instead of, all right, what are we doing now? And they just never felt right all season.
I agree, and I think once they started going south this year, he didn't handle it all that well either. At least from the outside, it didn't seem.
And then fired a bunch of assistants after the season.
And who knows if that's his choice or the, you know, front office saying you got to do this, right? And
yeah.
I don't know.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
What I know is Bill Belichick had 4 losing years out of 5 with the Browns. The idea that you can just skip these steps of maturing, I don't know. It's a modern idea that all because of computers and all that, these kids got it all figured out. As we look back in hindsight now, 5 years ago, we would have said, who's the best coaches? It would have been Belichick, Andy Reid, Sean Payton, John Harbaugh, Tomlin. Is that list any different today?
No, I think that sounds about right.
So McVay's the big wild card, right? Because he's, you know, to me, the most successful of the young Bucks. But really, we're going to see now, aren't we? Because they've spent a lot of money to try to win in the last 2 years, and they haven't. Now those bills come due for the Rams. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Now, there's one last style. It is the I'm going to do it all. It's a director. They called it the Artur theory that, hey, it's Spielberg. He's got to figure it out. You got a problem with the camera? He'll jump over and run the camera. Kubrick was like this. The guys that they owned the making of the film, and it was their film. They were the artists that mattered. And I think with Belichick, no doubt. Oh, you got a problem on defense? I'll jump over there. Special teams? I'll jump over there. It's that depth of knowledge that they're the best at everything. They're only one of them, but they can put it all together because they have that deep, deep knowledge. I think there's only one Belichick. I know there's only one. And I think what we're seeing is some of his coaching tree, they learned under that approach that the head guy is a genius approach and they're not geniuses. And I don't care about rocket scientists. You might be a good rocket scientist. I'm talking about a football genius. And Patricia, he seems no nonsense. He seems stubborn. He seems to want to be involved in everything. But he doesn't have the pedigree where the players say, yeah, it makes sense he's doing this. And I think we forget that Belichick was, what, 50 years old when he took over for the, you know, Patriots?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
So here we are at 50, having, you know, with Super Bowl rings dangling around his neck, like too many to put on your hands with, you know, the Giants and Parcells. And then he, you know, obviously was with the Pats when they went and played against the Packers when Parcells was there. So as pedigreed as you get, and already having 5 years to make his mistakes. And he did with the Browns, and it seemed like he learned from them. So as you look at it, Jonas, do you see that perhaps it's the style that these Belichick disciples try to coach without being Belichick that might be the problem?
Yeah, I think so. Because, I mean, even McDaniels got off to a great start when he took over in Denver, and then it just went, I mean, to complete crap. And his reputation took a hit. He was not well-liked in the building. Like, I've talked to people that were in Denver that covered the team at the time. They said it was just a disaster. So it's almost like they're coming in there with a Belichick background, but not really any of the credentials to go along with it. And I wonder if that's where the mistakes are made.
I think so. And maybe as they're now moving into the third generation of his disciples, his tree, maybe they're going to learn from it. And maybe Flores is. And it strikes me that that there is that stubbornness, right? There is that my way or the highway.
Yeah.
And there's also the sense of, well, if you're going to be that way, you've got to know best about everything. Whereas in business, oftentimes, you know, if you listen to all the A-plus business guys, the guys that run the big companies, they're often talking about, well, I want to hire the guy that's smarter than me at this and let him do his thing, and I want to empower him. And the funny thing was, there was probably one coach that he could never find someone smarter than him, Belichick, so he did it differently. It just seems like maybe that is the problem. Yeah. So when I look at Judge, I love the pedigree with Belichick in general, though we've just raised the issue of the super coach thing. I also love Saban. I love that he was in a humble place, you know, where 10 years ago he was in Division, you know, three or whatever it was. And I also like the fact that he was a quarterback in college but didn't start. So the guys that are super successful, they often struggle as coaches. It's usually those backup quarterbacks that do better, don't you think?
Yeah, and I also don't discount this at all, because as much as I like the hire because it's different and I'm curious to see if it'll work, I think Dave Gettleman is the type of guy who makes out-of-the-box decisions hoping that it works and he can get all the praise afterwards.
Hey, you got to wonder, though. He has to know this is his last shot, right?
Yeah, Gettleman? But I mean, old habits die hard. I mean, he took Daniel Jones was very questionable. People didn't understand why he took him where he took him. He got criticized for the Saquon Barkley pick because, as you look now, he's a great player, but Sam Darnold was on the board. Why wouldn't you take your franchise quarterback
there? Wait, you're saying right now, this is weekend stuff here. You're saying right now you'd rather have Sam Darnold on your team than Barkley.
No. Right now, what I'm saying at the time when the decision was made, people looked at Dave Gettleman like, what are you doing? You couldn't
maybe he didn't like Darnold.
I know, but that was sort of the Dave Gettleman's very stubborn. He's got an approach. He wants to do something a little bit different, and that's been the knock on Gettleman. So at the time of both those draft picks, he was criticized for him. I defended him. I said, look, take the best player available. If Barkley's the best player available, you take him. And Daniel Jones played really well at times this season. So I just wonder if Gettleman still has that in him to where I'm going to make it out of the box higher and I'm going to get all the credit for it if it works.
So who would you want right now on your roster? Barkley or Darnold?
Oh, geez. Barkley. He's had a better career.
Listen, I still make the case that the way Darnold played in his second year, that there's no quarterback that's elite today that played that poorly in his second year.
Yeah, he gets a lot of free passes.
My gosh. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how it works. There must be some kind of slush fund in media. All right, so this is what we're going to do. We've gone over the Joe Judge hire, and I think there's an open question with that, too, is did the Giants panic? I can't imagine the Browns were, you know, all anxious to hire Joe Judge. Maybe. But it was like, you know, you lose your guy rule, and then all of a sudden you got to make a quick hire to try to win the news cycle, right? It's not about news cycles, right? It's about winning in the playoffs, and the Giants haven't done that for a while. I can't predict what is going to happen with Judge, but it felt a little quick to me. It felt a little quick right after Rule said no, no, no. So when we come back, we're going to talk about this hire. I think there's a part of it from the owner's perspective that bodes very, very well for the Carolina Panthers.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. RJ, the playoffs in the NFL continue this weekend, but it's sort of an unfamiliar feeling to the playoffs because the Patriots are out after losing 2013 to the Titans at Foxborough.
Yeah, and this is one where I just think sometimes you keep saying the same thing. You know, like I always hear you saying Brad Pitt is so good looking, right? And you keep saying it and you say it and you say it and it loses its meaning.
I can't stop. I
exactly. Mean, yeah. And again, I no judgment, but here's what I'll say. He is good looking. Come on. Here's the thing, though. The Patriots are so good. They've been so good. It deserved to be quantified. So what I did in pregame.com research, McKenzie headed this up. I had an idea. I said, let's quantify. Let's figure out what it means to succeed in the NFL. And I kept it simple. Simple is best. You make the playoffs, you get a point. For every round you advance, you get a point. So that's it. And if you win the Super Bowl, you get an extra point. So Super Bowl wins 5. With the New England did this year, 1. They made the playoffs, they got a point, didn't advance. Now, you make the playoffs and get a bye, you get 2 points because you've advanced a round. Doesn't you earn that during the regular season? So it's really that simple. Make the playoffs, lose, you get 1. Get to the second round, however you do, you get 2. Get to the third round, you get 3. Get to the Super Bowl and lose, you get 4. You win the Super Bowl, you get 5. All right, we went 10 years. That's a nice round number. New England has 35 points. I'm going to let you pick two other teams. You haven't seen this list. And I think the odds are your two teams won't have as many points as New England.
Okay, so two other teams over the last 10 years that have advanced the most in the playoffs.
Yes.
All right, I'm going to go the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go...
By the way, no matter who you pick, you lose.
Yeah, I know. And I'm going to go... Oh, geez. The Packers.
Okay, the Packers were third. They had 18 points. Steelers were sixth with 14 points. So that adds up to 32. Oh, by the way, New England has 35. I mean, think about that.
Yeah.
Is there's only two teams, if you combine them, that beat them. Seattle is number two with 20 points.
Okay.
Green Bay has 18. So Green Bay and Seattle, 38. Denver's fourth with 15. So literally, pretty much, except for one coupling, any two teams, no matter how successful, have advanced less in the playoffs than the New England Patriots. And that counts this year, meaning, you know, they got 1 point this year. This is their bad year. Now, as the season progresses, you know, Green Bay advances more, they get some more points, right? But it really is a situation that they are, their performance of the Patriots in the playoffs literally double any other two teams. And to me, I don't think we, I mean, think about Michael Jordan scoring 58 points on average and the second best scorer having 29.
Right.
I mean, that's what we're talking about here, right? Is one team doing doubly as well as any other team. And by the way, you look at a team like Philadelphia, you think, hey, pretty good run, huh? They have 10 points, 10 versus 35. I mean, Indianapolis, 9 points. All this Andrew Luck talk, blah, blah, blah. 9 advancement points versus 35. It's insane. The Cowboys, 6 advancement points versus 35. This New England is in another universe, and I just don't, you know, if there's anything I can do in the national media, it's going to be let's not let that be forgotten how great New England is. By the way, they're not playing this weekend, but we do have Tennessee, 9.5-point underdogs at Baltimore.
Yeah, it's the Titans, 9.5-point underdogs at Baltimore. And this game coming up on Saturday night, RJ, 9.5 on pregame.com.
Is the Baltimore-Tennessee.
Yes.
Yeah, to me, I think that there's one, and we'll be giving some picks out soon enough here. I do think the following. Baltimore likes to blitz, and I think the way you stop the blitz is run the ball and have a mobile quarterback. So I think we're going to see Tennessee get their points. I also think you're going to see Baltimore get their points. So my gut feeling right now is going to be the over in the game, but we'll get to it.
Yeah, and then also we've got on that Saturday, the Vikings and the 49ers will match up. Now, obviously, you took a victory lap yesterday calling the Minnesota Vikings plus the 7.5 at New Orleans. They get their overtime win. Now they find themselves 7-point underdogs at San Fran coming up on Saturday.
And I certainly enjoyed the victory lap. We were right about it. But here's the thing, and this is why this show, I think, approaches things not just pure Vegas, is that you did some reading a couple years ago, literally, remembered about Cousins, remembered about his propensity to be, let's say, very driven by his schedule,
yes,
to be routine-based. And we did the research and uncovered 1 o'clock starts. He's as good as anyone. Non-1 o'clock starts, Cousins, as bad as anyone. So this game, again, feels similar, but it's not at 1 o'clock Eastern, so I'm looking San Francisco or passing this game myself.
The Odd Couple is next on many of these Fox Sports Radio affiliates. We are straight out of Vegas. We will be back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio, as we continue to look ahead to the NFL Divisional Playoffs coming up this weekend. You can check us out at Fox Sports Radio and, as always, the iHeartRadio app.